Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. A warm welcome to St. James Westminster on this first Sunday of September, the Labor Day long weekend and the official start to the fall church season. People have asked me many, many times if I've started counting yet. Yes, officially today, 17 weeks. So you can count along with me if you want, but I haven't given it that much thought until now, but I did run it through my head and figure things out. Don't forget baseball next Sunday, and the barbecue and all that good stuff is on, and a bunch of other things that were on the slides that I'm sure that you diligently read this morning so that you know everything that's going on, because I certainly don't, because I just got back on Friday. So I will get back immersed into all the good things that we are doing. Wonderful to be back. Let's take a moment to still our hearts and souls and spirits, and then we worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Those who have been in the Anglican Church for many decades will remember this collect. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that richly bearing the fruit of good works, we may by you be richly rewarded, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And there's also some kind of a strange tradition about stirring up Christmas pudding and getting it ready for 17 weeks from now that goes along. We continue now with our readings from Scripture.
A reading from the book of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, in my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I'm quite certain that when I took homiletics at Emmanuel in St. Chad in Saskatoon nearly 30 years ago, we were told many, many times not to do what I'm about to do. Ah, well. I came up with something that I wanted to preach about, and I'll tell you that story in just a second, and I'm making it fit the readings. And when I first thought about it, I didn't think maybe it fit, but the more times I listened to it, I think it does fit. As most of you know, I walk every morning 9-10 kilometers, usually on the same path because I get thinking about things, and if I don't walk the same route, I wouldn't know where I was. I just kind of end up somewhere and go, how did I get here? So I walk the same route, but every once now and again, I'll turn a corner and go a different street. And I did that at the start of this last week and was walking down the road and turned and looked at this house, and there's a banner on the outside of the house. And I read it and then walked away and then had to go back the next day to read it again. And it's been in my thoughts all week. Now, I don't carry a phone with me, so I couldn't take a picture. Certainly, even if I had a pen, if I tried to write it down in my handwriting, I would never remember it. So I can't give you the exact text, but I can give you very close to it. The sign on the side of this house says, "I love you." And then it continues, "Now you may think that's strange and you say, but you don't know me, how can you love me? But if people can hate when they don't know someone, then certainly I can love without knowing someone. I love you." Now that's pretty deep stuff. In our world, I think it's true that a lot of people choose to hate people because of the color of their skin, their ethnicity, where they come from, their sexuality, all kinds of things that they immediately judge and say that I hate. And as I thought about it, I'm not sure I'd want to use that strong a word as hate. There are times that I have encountered people, many times in my life that I have encountered people, that I have immediately had negative thoughts without stopping to think that this person who I am judging is a child of God. And as a child of God from God, that person gets only one thing, God's unconditional love. Just as I like to claim that God will give me God's unconditional love for all the stupid things that I do. No, I'm not going to share any examples. One of my many little mantras is, why put one foot in your mouth when there's room for two? And I have been very good at doing that. So how does this fit into the readings? Because at first I didn't think it fit at all. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to preach on the banner or am I going to preach on the readings? And then I decided to do both because I think they do fit. So first of all, the reading from Philemon or Philemon or every 93 different translations, nobody knows how to pronounce it. Whatever one you use is good enough. And the slave Onesimus or whatever else way you want to do it. Think about this. We're talking about a slave. Now, slavery in that time was not the same as slavery in the southern United States in the 1700s and 1800s, but it certainly was not a good thing for Onesimus to be a slave. He was not treated well. And in fact, you could say that maybe even his owner hated him. He certainly abused him and used him for his own purposes. Yet this slave who ran away is the subject of this letter from Paul, treating him as a brother in Christ, treating him as a human being, suggesting that he is worthy of love and respect, and suggesting that his, quote, owner do the same thing. I love you. Now, the reading from Luke's gospel, and I remember not so long ago, I think we got the Matthew version, and I remember Hannah standing up here going, I'm not sure what to say about this, because the word hate seems really strong coming from Jesus' mouth to say that if you do not hate your mother, father, brother, sister, and everyone else, you're not worthy of me. The Matthew version's a little softer. The word hate is not the way we would understand hate. And if you read the rest of the passage from Luke, what you begin to understand is what Jesus is saying here is if your mother, father, brother, sister doesn't love, isn't willing to be inclusive, isn't willing to be honest, isn't willing to confess their sins, isn't willing to do all the things that go along with being someone who is a person of faith, then you need to side with the gospel over them. That's profound. Because I'm sure that there are people sitting here that their families say, what are you doing spending your time in church? What a waste of a Sunday morning. You put money on the plate for those people to spend. Don't you know that they're just out for themselves? Why would you love those creepy people? Well, this gospel passage is for you. Because it goes on to have Jesus say, if you're building something, or an example that would be all too current in that time, if you're going to war, don't you figure out first if you can do it? Rather than jumping into something and then saying, oh, I can't do that, I can't measure up to it. So Jesus is saying, be sure that if you are going to commit to being a person of faith, if you're going to follow the gospel, to remember that the gospel imperative, that what the gospel says to you first and foremost before anything else is that you must love. That's the easiest thing in the world to say. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. I'm quite certain there are many days that I'm not the most lovable person in the entire world. And I know for certain there are many days that I don't measure up to what God calls me to do and be. But a long time ago, I committed myself to be a person of faith. And that commitment will go on after my official retirement, because I am called by God to love. There's no beginning and end point to what you're called to do. If you're called to be a person of God, a person of faith, it's every day. From the time you get up, to the time you go to sleep, and if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're still called to be a person of faith. And that means that we're called to love. So let me ask you a question, and I'll first and foremost say, no, I don't think that I will do this anytime soon. It might not help my realtor sell my house. But I did ask myself, should I go get a banner like that and put it on the side of my house and leave it there? Let me ask you a question as part of this community. Should we put a big banner on the front of St. James saying, I love you, even though I don't know you? But I have the immediate opportunity to decide to love or to hate or ignore or carry on what we've always done. There's a long pause here. Because we are called to love. And that's the hardest thing we'll ever do. It's wonderful to gather together and pray and listen to readings and to sing songs and to be a community and play baseball and support charities and do all that kind of stuff. That's all part and parcel of it. But the thing that became most clear to me this week in reading that banner, other than the fact that I'm willing to say something and be kind of weak-kneed and not really get there and do it and put it on my own house, but at the end of the day, I am convinced. I have been convinced for a long time. And if there's anything that I ever say in this church that I hope that you will hear, it is this, because it is the message of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier, whatever way you want to put the Trinity together. There is one word. One word that we may never ignore, that we must always follow. We are called to be a people who love. Amen. As you are able, I invite you to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, standing, sitting, or kneeling.
Let us pray to the God who has loved us throughout our whole life. Lord our God, broaden our vision of your nature and help us respond to your calling, whether it suits us or not, and whether it is convenient or not. Lord God, you are our hope. May the whole church reflect your light and beauty in the love for God and neighbor, displayed in corporate worship and individual godly living. Lord God, you are our hope. May no corruption, cruelty, or injustice go unchallenged in any part of our world, however unpopular the challenge may be. May our society protect the vulnerable and encourage mutual care and support. And at this time, I'd like to ask your prayers for those suffering from those terrible floods in Pakistan, for those suffering the ravages of war in Ukraine. Lord God, you are our hope. May our care of the very young and elderly imitate the faithful and generous caring of our God. May we overcome our envies, jealousies, and grievances, so that in God's love we can look to another face to face and practice the liberating work of forgiveness. Lord God, you are our hope. May all whose bodies cause them pain or immobility be affirmed in value by loving encounter with Jesus and his followers. And may those who are spiritually crippled be set free to love and serve God. And at this time, we especially remember Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, David Buckridge, Marilyn Austin, Anna Woodson, Emerson Muir, Eunice Smith, Rick, Rita, Rich, and Al McMillian. Lord God, you are our hope. May those who have died in faith live forever in the joy and peace of heaven as children of promise. And may those who miss their company be comforted and supported. Lord God, You are our hope. May our gratitude to the one who sets us free be shown each day in the way we live and speak. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love. God is infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites us to this table. Let us now confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace and the love of God be always with you. And share a sign of this peace and love amongst us. Let us pray. Great and holy God, accept our offering of labor and love. May we bring you true and spiritual worship and be one with you. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering, to bring release to those who placed their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people, He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who in the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering therefore his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross. Now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb. Live in us that we may live in you. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us thy peace. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm assuming that our communion protocol is the same as when I went on holidays. You may receive in one kind or both. Come forward, receive the bread at this station, the wine at this station. If you decide to receive one only, that's absolutely fine. We do have gluten-free wafers. If you need one of those, let us know. If you prefer to receive a blessing instead of communion, just cross your arms like this, and we'd be happy to give you a blessing. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, your word and sacrament give us food and life. May we who have shared in holy things bear fruit to your honor and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. I left it till the end of the service to make sure it wasn't raining so that I can tell you exactly where it will be. There is lemonade in the backyard. And if it starts to rain, it will quickly move to the parish hall. But there is lemonade if you'd like to stay and have a conversation. And also a reminder that we go back to our regular schedule next weekend. 8:30 a.m. is the Book of Common Prayer service, and 10:30 a.m. is the Book of Alternative Services service next week. And I know the choir is coming back. I'm not sure whether it's next week or the week after, but all that's in order. And before long, before the end of September, we'll be back up and running at as close to 100% as we get. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us this day and forevermore. Amen.